Good morning. If you take your Bibles, you can open them up to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Before we get started, let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're so thankful again that we can just gather here together this morning to worship you. I just thank you for those that are listening in, and I just pray for those who perhaps aren't here today because they're physically not feeling well, or maybe they're on vacation, that you would just watch over and protect them. And again, Father, as we look into your word, and we know that sooner or later the tribulation period will start, where the Antichrist will reign and rule. But yet, Father, we also understand that you've told us that the last days will be like the days of Noah, and that there are certain things that as the events unfold, as you allow these events unfold to bring these things about, that we should be able to be, as believers, be able to be aware of them. So, Father, as we continue to just look at the events that are occurring in the world around us, I just pray that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds and help us as believers to understand that you are God, that you are in control, and also that the only way to escape the events that are in the world, coming into the world, is only by receiving you as our Lord and Savior. And Father, that we know that before the times get really, really, really bad, that you are going to remove us from this earth. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you look at verse 1, it says, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So he's talking to us as believers that we have been quickened. One time we were dead in trespasses and sins. It says, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we see that we are to no longer work or walk according to the course of this world, but we notice also that if you're not saved, if the Holy Spirit does not indwell you, then you are being controlled, it says, by the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So believers are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Unbelievers are controlled by the prince of the power of the air. And it's his Spirit that worketh in them. In 1 Timothy 4:1, these are things that we've already mentioned, so I'm not going to have you turn there, but just to mention them. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The world is full of seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. 2 Timothy 3:1 says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of them, their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. For from such turn away. So again, we are going to be living in perilous times. That's pretty bad. Perilous is bad. But there's a couple of things that in that I want to pick out expressly. And one is that in the last days, when these perilous times come, people will be lovers of themselves. In other words, they'll be selfish. All they care about is themselves. They will also be covetous, which means they will be fond of silver or money. Money will be important to them. Money will be more important to them than people will be. They will be unholy, and unholy means wicked. There will be people who will be wicked, without natural affection. In other words, that's hard-hearted toward kindred. Now, this usually refers to a family, so There's no affection toward your family, but imagine if there's no affection toward your family, I doubt there's any affection toward the rest of humanity. Okay? It's just about me. Now, Revelation 13, 15, we've mentioned this, and he had the power to give life, speaking of the false prophet, unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all great, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, except that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So we see that the world needs to be able to move toward this time when the Antichrist can set up his kingdom, basically, and control the world. Now, we were talking about the vaccines and the COVID pandemic, but many of us may not be aware of it, but the COVID-19 pandemic was a planned event years in the making, and its goal was to obtain power and wealth. Its objective was to, on a global scale, take away the freedoms of individuals in every nation. We can see the satanic forces at work. If we look, we can see the satanic forces at work behind the scenes, moving nations at this moment toward a one-world government, and in order to be able to gain control over every aspect of every individual's lives. Now, what the pandemic did, as we look back, it revealed how easily and how quickly the rights of individuals can be taken away. It also revealed how many people would be willing to give those freedoms up. Fear of death made people willing to allow themselves to be locked up, willing to take an untested experimental shot without really questioning its safety. Now, what's interesting about the mRNA shots is major investments were made by the U.S. government well before the authorization in the development of mRNA vaccines. In other words, prior to the pandemic, the NIH, BARDA, B-A-R-D-A, and DOD, which is the Department of Defense, contributed millions of dollars for this mRNA vaccine development. Now, BARDA and the DOD also, it says, collaborated closely in the co-development of Moderna's mRNA vaccine, saying that it dedicated over $18 billion to this, which included guaranteed vaccine purchases. In other words, they paid them to develop it, and they were paying them to receive it. Now, this entailed pre-purchasing hundreds of millions of mRNA vaccine doses. And when you read this, one has to ask why such an investment would be made before the pandemic. There was no reason for it. And why would they agree to purchase these vaccines in advance unless they were planning on using them for a pre-planned pandemic? Maybe they knew what was coming. Before COVID-19, pharmaceuticals were unable to roll out these gene therapy shots. What healthy, and you know, I mean, if somebody came up to you and they told you these vaccines were gene therapy drugs and we didn't know what would happen to you, who in their right mind would take them? You know, the fear created by the false information that millions of people were going to die of COVID-19 gave them a perfect opportunity to test out this new technology on human beings. The need for speed, remember, the need for speed in developing the vaccines allowed them to bypass the necessary safety steps normally followed when a new vaccine or drug is developed. COVID-19 gave the pharmaceutical companies and the government an opportunity to inject billions of people with an experimental gene therapy product. And in order to give them time to roll these shots out, they needed to keep everyone locked up, locked down, and limit their ability to move around in society. In other words, they had to keep up the fear-mongering until they could get this ready to go out. Now, looking back, we can see that COVID-19 hospitalizations, we're going to move into the hospitals for right now. Looking back, we can now see that COVID-19 hospitalization and dying from infection has always been very low. Most people look at COVID-19 and it wasn't any worse than what a flu virus was, honestly. Okay? For younger generations, in other words, those below 40 years of age, SARS-CoV-2 infection severity and fatality rates since 2020 have been comparable to those of influenza, it says. In other words, sometimes young people do die of flu. It's rare, but it happens. But we've never shut down everything over a flu virus. The most vulnerable were those in their 80s. When you look at the deaths that occurred, most of the people were in their 80s. And even in countries that showed excess mortality in 2020, death rates among children were extremely low. Now, listen to this. In Sweden, where 1.8 million children were allowed to freely attend school in 2020, when everybody else was locking them down, zero COVID-19 deaths were recorded among them by the summer of 2021. In other words, none of them died. Interesting, isn't it? Now, it seems in order to pad the numbers of COVID deaths, the hospitals were financially encouraged by the government to list everything as COVID. Broke your arm, went in, tested positive for COVID. Got in a car accident, COVID. Had a heart attack, COVID. So everything. So just as soon as you went in, they put that swab up your nose and to find out whether you tested for COVID. Now, it is now known that hospitals were incentivized to vaccinate, test, diagnose, and admit COVID patients and report COVID-related deaths using add-on bonuses to push treatments such as remdesivir, dialysis, ventilators, and the new covered countermeasures approved for COVID. Now, what is strange about the use of remdesivir is that it was used in trials during 2018 West African Ebola outbreak and had to be discontinued because its death rate exceeded over 50%. Yet in 2020, Anthony Fauci directed that remdesivir was to be the drug hospitals used to treat COVID-19. Even when the COVID clinical trials of remdesivir showed similar adverse effects. So when patients entered hospitals and were suspected of having COVID, they actually became prisoners. There are so many horror stories out there about families who had loved ones in the hospital and they couldn't see them. In other words, they were medically kidnapped and isolated from their families. Hospitals ignored powers of attorney and explicit written and verbal insistence from patients and families not to administer decision-altering sedatives and deadly remdesivir and not to put patients on ventilators. Hospital staff sedated patients without their consent. And with no personal advocate present, administered toxic doses of remdesivir, leading to acute renal failure and pulmonary edema, followed by ventilators until death occurs. Now, hospitals receive massive incentives to overtreat COVID patients until they died. In the simplest terms, patients who could be listed as having COVID-19 became financial cash cows for the hospitals. Hospitals receive bonus payments for COVID testing and COVID diagnosis. Hospitals received a 20% bonus on top of the standard cost for the treatment of a COVID patient. Admission, they were paid a bonus for the admission of a COVID patient. They were paid a bonus if they use remdesivir. The United States government actually paid hospitals an additional bonus when they use remdesivir, and that in addition to the actual 20% they're already getting, the upcharge of it. Now, despite its clear dangers and lack of effectiveness, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorized remdesivir for emergency use against COVID in May 2020 and then gave it full approval in October 2020. Now, they also had incentive to use the use of mechanical ventilators, okay? Which, so if they could get you on a ventilator, they got extra money for that. And according to the statistics, there's a claim that it killed 84.9% of COVID patients within the first 96 hours when they put them on. Typically due to the barotrauma, in other words, trauma to the lungs from elevated pressure. Remember that when they put them on there? They were killing people because they were pressuring their lungs too much. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just your grandmother, grandfather. I'm sorry. It's just a technical mistake. In New York hospitals, 88% of COVID patients on ventilators died in our state. 88% of them. In August 2020, former director of U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Robert Redeld, agreed hospitals had a financial incentive to overcount COVID deaths. According to records, hospitals were raking in an average of $100,000 extra for each and every COVID patient when they followed the directive to only treat with remdesivir and ventilators or ventilation. On the other hand, hospitals that refused to follow this deadly protocol, using things like ivermectin, antibiotics, steroids, forfeited all government payments. Now, this is why hospitals refuse to administer other life-saving treatments. So if you went in there and said, give my mom ivermectin, give my dad, give my grandpa, they wouldn't, because they claimed that they were following government protocol, which they were not. The government never mandated this, when in reality they were doing what benefited them most financially. Now, it was also found that some hospitals withheld basic nutrition and fluid. They starved people to death. Hospitals received a bonus for every COVID death. Even coroners were given a bonus payment for every death certificate they filled out stating that COVID was responsible for the death. Now, this payment scheme had created a kind of institutionalized killing machine where hospital revenue is tied to the patients dying in hospital with a COVID label. Now, when the vaccines were first made available, they say the surge in excess mortality rose among 25 to 54 age group. This was associated with the introduction of U.S. vaccine mandates among military and hospital personnel. I don't know if you remember that, but the first ones that were supposed to be vaccinated were the military and the medical field. So they rolled this out to them. Now, they did this in the fall of 2021. So from March 2021 to February 2022, there were approximately 61,000 excess deaths among Americans under the age of 40, equivalent to all U.S. servicemen who lost their lives during the Vietnam War. Information obtained from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, it says the data showed that compared to previous year averages, after the rollout of vaccines, and this is in the military, miscarriages were up 279% among DOD personnel in 2021. Breast cancer went up 487%. Nervous system disorders, 1,048%. Male infertility, 350%. Female infertility, 471%. Ovarian dysfunction, 437%, and much more. Now, in response to this, the Pentagon claimed that there was a glitch in a database, okay, that resulted in incomplete data sets being shown for the previous years that they were comparing it to. So the real medical diagnosis for 2016 through 2020, they said, was far higher, and they made the numbers in 2021 appear falsely elevated. In other words, they went back and they fudged the previous data to be more in line with the data that they had. So according to a 393-page confidential document requested by the European Medical Agency and released in August 2022, Pfizer had by that time documented approximately 1.6 million adverse events covering nearly every organ system. One-third of the adverse events were classified as serious. Among the many findings were 3,711 tumors, 264 categories of vascular disorders, 73,542 cases total, over 100,000 blood and lymphatic disorders, 127,000 cardiac disorders, including 270 categories of heart damage in addition to myocarditis and pericarditis, 77,000 psychiatric disorders, including psychosis, depression, suicide, and suicidal behaviors, and hundreds of categories of neurological disorders, 696,500 cases total, many of which are considered very rare, which is a clear indication of a grave hazard. Now, these estimates offer a striking contrast to the official FDA document titled Summary Basis for Regulatory Action, dated November 8, 2021, in which the review committee voted to approve the Pfizer BioNTech product. So the report's entire risk-benefit assessment section consists of a single sentence which says, considering the data submitted to support the safety and effectiveness of Comirnaty, which is the name of the medicine, the shot, the review committee is in agreement that risk-benefit balance for Comirnaty is favorable and supports approval for use in individuals 16 ages and older, even though they knew that all this stuff was occurring. One multi-country ecological analysis estimated that COVID-19 vaccines resulted in 17 million excess deaths. Another study stated that for every one COVID death, there were 14 vaccine deaths. And I am going to read you some information here. It's pretty much up to date. It says November 1st, 2022. There is now considerable evidence that mRNA vaccines are routinely injuring the heart with raised troponin levels across the board and subclinical myocarditis in up to 1 in 27 cases or more. These are not rare events, as is often claimed by medical authorities and in the media. They are alarmingly common. Here's one dated April 5th, 2024. Says the testimony of a funeral director, John O'Looney, in the UK, said John's business is booming, with a grim prospect in itself since John deals in dead bodies. However, it's worse than that. John is finding an increase in the number of young people who are dying and a rise in the number of cancers. These changes in the number and the age of people who are dying coincide with the discovery of a strange rubbery white clots in the blood vessels of the deceased. In other words, it was it wasn't a normal clot. It was almost like a rubber. They just pull them out of these bodies. Across the globe, funeral directors and embalmers are grappling with this perplexing phenomenon, and all since the widespread administration of COVID-19 vaccines. Now, the proper procedure in the UK is to report these findings to the local coroner for investigation, and John did that. However, his local coroner was dismissive and even suggested that samples of never-seen-before rubbery white clots could be actually just discarded or thrown away. John then submitted his findings to the chief coroner of England, who refused to investigate, quoting government policy. May 14, 2024, the most senior medical oncologist in Japan recently slammed the COVID-19 mRNA shots as a work of evil that has caused essentially murder. He pointed out that turbo cancers, a kind previously unseen by doctors that progress extremely quickly and are typically in stage 4 by the time they are diagnosed, have started to appear after the jab rollouts. These turbo cancers are emerging along with excess mortality due to cancer in general, which Fukushima says cannot be explained only by the lost opportunities for screening or treatment during the COVID outbreak. As a tragic example of fatal danger of the COVID shots, the oncologist shared a story of a 28-year-old man who was found dead by his wife when she tried to wake him up in the morning, 5 days after he had received a second Pfizer shot. The doctor who did the autopsy said that when he tried to remove the heart, it was soft and had disintegrated. Fukushima said, and even just one case like this shows how dangerous this vaccine can be. He pointed out that these severe harms, including death, have been afflicting people post-jab who have a history of good health. He lamented that the media, including newspapers, generally have not reported on these harms, and that, in fact, those who question the safety of the COVID shots, just as with the flu shots, have been characterized as anti-science heretics. He described the attitude of those who shut down the voices of COVID vaccine critics, however, as far from scientific and more akin to faith hysteria and even cult behavior on shutting this down. There were problems, moreover, with the very technology used to administer the mRNA, which is the lipid nanoparticles, that the doctor said result in off-target effects on various organs, including the ovaries, the brain, the liver, and bone marrow. This is just the beginning, according to Fukushima, because the rates of all sorts of diseases have been spiking since COVID shot rollout, including autoimmune disease, neurodegenerative disease, cancer, and infections. June 3rd, 2024, Kazuhiro Haraguchi, Japan's former Minister for Internal Affairs and Communications, apologized to the public for injuries and death resulting from the nation's COVID shot rollout, as well as the suppression of the antiviral drug ivermectin. When I travel around to different areas, he said, I see those who can't stand, can't walk, can't go back to school, can't go to work. We could have prevented these injuries from happening, but we did not. Likewise, in nearby Philippines, an intense discussion in the Philippine House of Representatives regarding the alarming rise of more than 290,000 excess deaths due to COVID-19 vaccines. There are Filipino people, they say, who are sick and tired of how the Department of Health has let us down, has refused to admit that people are dying, turning a blind eye to the people who are getting sick, turbo cancers, myocarditis, children who are suddenly sick as if they were 60 or 70 years old. We look into their eyes, the people they're talking to. There does not seem to be any sympathy for the people who have died, for the people who are now physically disabled because of these vaccines. Former CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, we all remember him, don't we, who supported COVID-19 vaccines previously, recently reinforced Haraguchi's admission regarding the potential efficacy of the ivermectin. This is what Cuomo says. I'll tell you something else that's going to get you a lot of hits, Cuomo said. I am taking a regular dose of ivermectin. Ivermectin was a boogeyman during COVID. That was wrong. We were given bad information about ivermectin. The real question is why. Before the former CNN anchor admitted that he was injured by the COVID-19 shots, he had denounced ivermectin as a horse dewormer. What matters is the entire medical community knew that ivermectin couldn't hurt you. They knew it, and I know they knew it. June 5th, 2024, The Telegraph admits COVID shots may have helped cause over 3 million excess deaths. The popular UK media outlet, The Telegraph, published a Tuesday report admitting that a recent peer-reviewed study shows COVID shots may have helped fuel a rise in excess deaths numbering over 3 million. The excess deaths amounted to a total of at least 3,098,456 over the three-year span in the 47 countries. The Telegraph highlighted the fact that the onset of excess mortality in early 2021 in Germany synchronized with the rollout of COVID shots, according to German researchers who have said this calls for further investigation. The researcher noted that side effects linked to COVID vaccine had included ischemic stroke, acute coronary syndrome, brain hemorrhage, cardiovascular disease, coagulation, hemorrhages, gastrointestinal events, and blood clotting. Here's one from July 12, 2024. Former Center for Disease Control and Prevention Director Robert Redfield confirmed the danger of mRNA COVID-19 vaccines in a United States Senate hearing Thursday, calling them toxic and saying that they should have never been mandated. Redfield went further, admitting that the spike protein produced by the mRNA vaccines is toxic to the body and triggers a very strong pro-inflammatory response. Redfield acknowledged that there was not an appropriate transparency from the beginning about the potential side effects of these vaccines. No one was made aware. He criticized attempts to underreport any side effects because they argued that would make the public less likely to get vaccinated. That's why they covered this up. They wanted us vaccinated. And if we thought there was something wrong with it, I don't think we would have been. November 6, 2023, according to the Insurance Newsnet, insurers are especially concerned by data from Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that show mortality rates alarmingly rising for different categories, including younger adult mortality rates that are up over more than 20% above historic norms in 2023. The CDC number reported in August showed that the death rate for American ages 15 to 45 rose 20 to 24% above normal in 2020 and soared in 2021 to a nearly 30% death increase for 15-year-olds and a more than 45% increase for 45-year-olds. Most troubling to insurers, CDC data reported in August showed that Americans in the period between January and May 2022 were still dying at abnormally high rates with the pandemic long over. Mortality rates were 25% higher than normal, among 15 to 19-year-olds, 20% higher among 45-year-olds considered in the prime of their life. Even 20-somethings were dying at a rate nearly 15% above normal and 30-something at the pace of 20% higher than usual, the CDC data showed. Insurers saw death benefits rise 15.4% in 2020, the biggest one-year increase since the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, followed by a record of $100.28 billion. Basically that they had to pay out, nearly double the historic norm. In total, death benefits paid out by the industry in 2021. Among working people 35 to 44 years old, a stunning 34% more died than expected in the last quarter of 2022, well above rates in other working age groups. Corey said, quoting data from the SOA Research Institute, COVID-19 claims do not fully explain the increase. June 3rd, 2024, FOSSI also largely defended the government's pandemic policies, because there's a lot of pressure on our government right now because of all this. People are not fooled by this. Unless you don't really have a way of getting information, you're not going to get it from the regular media. You're not going to give it from your government. In fact, our government is so dogmatic that this is safe that they want every little baby to be right on there with their shots along with everything else. But we have to think. Do your own research. All I'm doing is pulling up for information for you to hear. You know, you have to decide what the truth is and what isn't the truth. But we need to be aware that we need to research things before we believe everything that we hear, especially before we believe our government and our health things. But this is what FOSSI, he's in absolute denial of anything, but he says in June 3rd, 2024, FOSSI also largely defended the government's pandemic policies and said vaccine mandates saved many, many, many lives. He said it was the unvaccinated who were responsible for an additional 200,000 to 300,000 deaths in the United States. But he did concede that the first iteration of the vaccines, in other words, when it rolled out, did have an effect. Okay, it did have an effect. But not 100%. Not a high effect. So he's kind of like saying both here. Now, in July 26, 2024, in an interview removed from YouTube but obtained by the defender, and I did watch this, Dr. Peter Holtz, who makes a lot of money off from medicine, blamed anti-vaxxers for causing hundreds of thousands of deaths during the pandemic. Holtz suggested the WHO, the World Health Organization, the United States Department of Homeland Security, and NATO should target anti-vaccine aggression. In other words, we need to remove these people that are saying that vaccinations are bad. We can't have them speaking out. And if we have to use force, let's use it. And even the World Health Organization, due to the world's distrust now, if you look at the news, all over the world, there are people who have signs up, Nuremberg 2.0, because they realized what was done to them. They believe that what was done by our governments worldwide need to be taken to court. They need to be prosecuted. And so what is the truth here? Are they safe and effective? Or are they not safe and effective? So even the World Health Organization, because of the world's distrust, they're discussing, they're getting together, and they're wondering how can they force people to comply with all these new mRNA vaccines they plan to roll out. If you remember last week, I showed you a little clip of Bill Gates saying, we can vaccinate everybody with the mRNA. We can cure all the diseases. We can make $2 vaccines. We have to get used to the fact that these mRNA vaccines are going to be the new vaccines. Now, why do I say these things? Because we need to know these things. Most of us don't. And if we are believers, okay, we believe that God, okay, is God. And God says that man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God says that we need to be saved, right? So in order for us to be able to have a relationship with him, we need to be saved. But there are people who are not saved. In other words, in a fallen world, there really are people who would want to kill you. This is a spiritual battle that is going on for the hearts and souls of human beings today. And it's being played out in front. It's just like abortion. Abortion is a depopulation agenda that they started years ago. Our government allows people to be aborted. Babies, right? And if they let babies, they're so desensitized to that, why wouldn't they kill old people? Why wouldn't they kill young people? If the whole goal is the world's too populated, well, let's figure out a way to get rid of them. The other thing is, and I'll close with this, is do you remember when they said, vaccinate yourself for somebody else? Don't do it for yourself. Do it because of grandma. Do it because of grandpa. And then do you remember what did our governor do? And I know the governor in Pennsylvania did at the same time. They took all the COVID patients and they put them in our nursing homes where grandma and grandpa were. And they forced them to take these patients. And thousands of older people died. So while they were telling us, get this shot to protect grandma, they were killing our grandmothers and grandfathers. There's something wrong. So this is why that I want to share all these things. And there's more, transhumanism and different things like that, even UFOs. We're going to go into that a little bit. But this is why I want you to know. I'm not telling you that this is the truth, but I'm letting you know that this is what's out there. And you need to pray about it, and you need to decide yourself. So you're aware. So the next time they pull something like this, you can pray about it, think about it, and maybe be a little more aware of what's going on. Father, we just thank you for this time that we could look into your word. And Father, help us to realize that, you know, your word is not just valuable for church, but your word helps us to understand the world that we live in. It helps us to understand the traps and the snares of the devil and all the different things that are going on. It also helps to reveal to us that, you know, man has fallen. We can't solve our own problems. We can't eradicate disease because sin has caused that. We're sinners. Only you can cure sin, and only you can eradicate disease. But it's a pipe dream to think that we could have a vaccination for every little thing and we're going to be perfectly healthy. So, Father, help us to think of these things. Help us to look at what you teach us about the world and to be able to somehow apply it to what is going on in the world. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.